lot of interesting stuff
in this Torah. Very interesting. A lot of
information. Things to come. Is it working? You hear me?
All right. Better?
A lot of information, you know, things to come. But what really stuck out was a lot of the stuff about Joseph, the life of Joseph. When we go back and look at his life, it's very interesting. You know, when you read it and you get into his story at the age of 17, you know, this is where this journey began for him. And can we even imagine or begin to imagine, stripped away from everyone you love and care for, you know, just families against him, even his own brothers. When he's reading the Torah before this one, 10, here comes this dreamer, you know, his own brothers. He says, can you imagine being plotted against you by your own family, being betrayed, thrown into a pit, and sold, and to make matters worse, he got lied about and thrown into prison for a crime he never committed, and also forgotten about for 13 years. At the age of 17 until he reached the age of 30, and you read as you go along. But his life is very interesting. It's, you know, especially when you read the book of Jasher, it gives a little extra detail reading. But his life is so amazing, because when we read it, I said, I know that when you and I read about the life of Joseph, do we even try to picture those moments? You know, picture yourself at the age of 17 coming against your family, your brother, your own brothers. I read that, and it's just, every time I read it, it's so amazing to even think that they would even plot against him. But even today, we all say that the worst people to deal with is family. But when you read that, you know, that's no coincidence that what he says later on, don't be mad at yourselves. You know, God has placed me here. And me and my wife was talking one day. I said, look, that's no surprise to God. He allowed things to happen. It was part of his plan? Yes. And we're going to see that here in just a little bit. Begging for your life. Can you picture those moments? Begging for your life. Can you imagine? Being in a hole that you can't get out, listening to your brothers conspiring about what to tell your dad, how you died, and your body not being found. You know, we just experienced that. I heard some very good news that they found the body of the young man, but can you imagine that family, what they were going through all this time? So, and you, imagine being in a hole, listening to your brothers saying that about you. Well, man, we take his coat and we're going to shred it and tell our daddy a story. And, you know, it's poor Joseph, he's taking all this in. So can you imagine? Then turn out being sold, because they really wanted to kill him. Reuben interceded for him, and man, we want to shed the blood on our hands. It's our brother. So it's a real interesting story, and it goes into a lot of information and detail. And I'm just going to touch here and there. I'm not going to keep y'all really late. We know that Yeshua, that Yahweh was with him because of a couple of statements. So I just want to hit the rewind button to chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. Joseph made this statement. And this was after being sold. And he's in Potiphar's house. And still, Yahweh is with him. No different than he's with us today, but he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife is coming after him. And when you read the book of Jasher, what I think about it, boy, and she was like really lovesick for him when you read that book. But he says this, there is none greater in this house than I. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither had, talking about his Potiphar. He's talking about Potiphar. That's who he's talking about. He had kept back anything from me but these, because thou art his wife. This is what he's telling her. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Elohim? So Yahweh was still with him. Regardless of being sold and being stripped away from all he knew at a young age. And some of us, you know, we got kids. We can't even imagine that. But he makes this statement. But the one that really grabbed my attention, this is where, when this Torah came out, my brother gave the paper, and I thought I had time to look over and read over it. I think the whole time we were away in this almond, I listened and read this almost every day. About a lot, most of the time I've listened to it. But this part really grabbed my attention. It's another thing that Joseph said that I thought was really good, and this is going to be the part of the highlights on what I want to say. In verse 45, chapter 45, verse number 5, he said, "Now therefore be not grieved," this is telling his brothers, "nor angry with yourselves." You know, Joseph could have paid evil for evil, but he knew the commandments, he knew the scriptures. But did he have fun with them? He really all the little, the money in the bag and the cup. So he had his little moment, a little highlight, but, you know, he was in authority, in a position, he really didn't have to help them. I know sometimes in life, we same thing. We get angry and upset, but we don't let that pride step in. It says, "Nor be angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life." And that's what really, when he said to preserve life, I see myself here today that my life has been preserved. And some of you all can probably testify to the same thing. He said, "For these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." I don't know about y'all, but that really touched me, because he's talking about a remnant in the end. Yeshua has come to preserve life for all of us. It's there for all of us, for whosoever will. We've been given a choice. And I'm so thankful for that verse of scripture. When it says to preserve life, I had to pause on that. And this, I got a lot more to add. Not to say a lot more, but more to add to that. It's, wow, to preserve life and a remnant on the earth to keep alive for you many survivors. And when you read the story, that wasn't, we think many, but his family, this was the start of Egypt in Israel, of the start of the everybody down in Goshen, because there's only 70. All his family was 70 persons. And you know, I didn't put this in my notes, but I started thinking about the number 70. You know, Moses, you can find that throughout the scripture, because Moses chose 70 elders. So I don't think that it was just a number that popped up. Just 70 people. He said he chose 70 to help them judge the people. And 70 years, because of their hard head, you relate on Jeremiah, that 70 years they were in captivity because of hard head. Oh, tete dure, we like to call it. Another one, Yeshua. How many times we should forgive your brother? Until seven times, Yeshua said till 70. I'm 7. He just didn't come up with that number 70. So, but that's more to it than that, and I'm sure we're going to get into that in the words of Jesus when that's going to take off. When I read and listen to this Torah, clearly I see the father and son relationship. Although 13 years of hardship lost, Joseph's faithfulness was rewarded tremendously. After 13, at the age of 30, he was restored at right hand next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "Until I'm on the throne, that's when I'm in charge. But right that, everybody's going to bow to you. They're going to answer to you. No one's going to lift a foot against you." And we see that same picture as Yeshua. As Stephen said, "I see him at the right hand of the Father, of power." So all this, it all matches if we just take our time to do our homework. He was given the highest honor that a son could receive. And we find that chapter 41, verse 40, when Pharaoh told us, until I'm on the throne, you're not higher than me. So you can go back and you'll see that. Just like Yeshua being at the right hand of the Father, so was Joseph next to Pharaoh. You and I will have faced tough times in our life that we live, especially those who uphold his name. If we profess to be followers of the Master Yeshua, we'll face tough times. Becoming a Christian doesn't give you a free pass. And I got a Romans 8. Romans 8:32 says this, and I'm just kind of used to help out the story. He said, he, talking about Yahweh, that spared not his own son. I'm just going to stop right there because I don't know who we think we are. But if he didn't spare his own son, we don't get a free pass. And that's the part of Joseph didn't get a free pass. You and I won't get a free pass. I didn't get a free pass. I don't get a free pass. But let's take a look back. At a time that seems so little in the world, especially at this time of the year when people, and not just non-Christians, but those who call themselves Christians that want to celebrate his birth. And I know this time of year, that's all you hear. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. It said, just drive up and down the road. You'll see what I'm talking about. Y'all here tonight know what I'm talking about. Because we were one of them. Amen. Thank you, Yahweh, for your mercy and our pastor. Gave us a lot of information. But I want to take you down a little journey because, like I said, the world, this is what the world fails, they miss. And I want to go to Matthew 26. And as I was going over this, when you read this story, sometimes it gets you a little teared up. Starting at verse 36. Then cometh Yeshua with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Don't sound like celebration that the world wants to celebrate today. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and finding them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. And their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. What was Joseph? Betrayed his family. Here we see Yeshua begging for his life. 1 hour. Can we just pray 1 hour? Can we just hang in there? You know, our lives are short. I mean, you don't seem like it, but it's very short. Let me just, Luke, just be able to leave that story. But can you imagine our Savior begging for his life? But not my will, Father. Your will be done. Luke 22:44. It's the same story. But Luke goes into a little more colorful here, if you want to call it. 22. Okay, my place. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I thought that was pretty interesting when you read that. You know, but we can't imagine that. I've never experienced something like that. So I had to do a little homework on it. But this is our Savior begging for his life, just like Joseph. But what we have here is our Savior begging for his life, just like Joseph. And just like Joseph, you said, Yeshua says, not my will, but your will, Father. This is what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife. How can I sin against my God, my Elohim? Hematidiosis. That's a big one. It may occur in individuals suffering from extreme levels of stress and anxiety. The blood vessels dilate to the point of rupture and goes into the sweat glands. So, something for y'all to look up. This is what he was experiencing, being in agony. Why? Because he's laying down his life. We want to live. We all want to live. The body does not want to die. We want to live here, but we can't. It's all around. We know that. But we see people dying. There's people dying right now. But there is hope. That's the thing about it. I know it sounds scary, but there is hope. And we're going to get to that. I'm not going to leave y'all hanging. So when you think that you got it bad, take a moment and visit the garden. Yeshua reminds us to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26:41. Why? John 3:16 says, for Yahweh so loved the world. This is why, that he gave his only begotten Son. None of us, I don't think, could pull that off. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish. Why? To preserve life. And we would have life to preserve it. Just a remnant. He wants everybody, but he's not going to get everybody. For Yahweh so loved the world. Okay, we read that. Genesis 45:5-7, to preserve life, a remnant. That's what he wants. Yeshua warns us that we should keep his commandments, his Father's commandments, because difficult times are coming, and that we as followers are to watch and pray. For there will come one in his own name, John 5:43. He warns us. He says, the 2 Thessalonians, Paul wrote about it. Let me just read that John 5:43. I don't want to just tell you about it. Let me read it, what he said. So these are the words, very important words. If we're going to listen to anybody, we better listen to his words. 5:43. He says, I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not.
Wow.
If another should come in his own name, him you will receive.
That's strong words.
You need to pay attention. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. To the true believers, this is no surprise.
At one time, yeah, it was a surprise to us. We didn't know about this because we was out of here. Rapture coming.
Oh, boy. Our Master Yeshua has already warned us. And if we just push the rewind button, Daniel talks about it before Yeshua. And I'm going to say this in closing. I got something else I want to read. This is where our hope comes in, to preserve life. So we all have an opportunity and a chance. And it's Psalms 91. I'd like to read to y'all. And I hope this can encourage y'all. This is a very, very powerful passage of scripture. I've read it several times, but when I'm going through this Torah, it's really jumped out and grabbed a hold of me to throw this in here. And I want to read this to y'all. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, in him will I trust. That 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. If I'm here, it's fine. And if I'm in the grave, it's still fine. You hold on to this. He says, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We've got to go back and look at that, the truth. Because they said they love not the truth. We need to fall in love with the truth. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Nobody gets a free pass. Because thou hast made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's one to hold on to. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, feet. Because he has set his love upon me, amen to that, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, there we go, there's that life again, to preserve life. It says, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? That's the hope we have to hold on to. No one gets that pass. I'm sorry. Death comes to us all. We have hope. We don't have to fear it, though it comes if we hold on to his word. We have promises, and they are yea and amen. And I want to thank y'all for coming out for the Torah 11. Anybody, anything they want to add? Suggested? All right.
Had the privilege of fishing a couple from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and they're here with us tonight. We appreciate them coming out and having service with us. But, you know, we went fishing yesterday, and wasn't much talking. The father shined his blessing on us yesterday. We was in a lot of fish. We didn't do much talking, just a lot of fishing. But anyway, we got in, I cleaned the fish, and I met him at the restaurant. And, you know, we sat down, and we just talked, you know, got to know one another. And then all of a sudden, we started talking about the goodness of God and how incredible he is. And, you know, Sister Ann made a comment that really stuck out to me. You know, she said before they left that they prayed. And their prayer was that the hand of God would be on their trip. You know, and I thought about that. You know, I reflected back on my life. When's the last time I said that prayer? And, you know, in our, you know, we all work in different arenas. You know, some of us work in the same, you know, we have a lot of charter captains here. You know, but no matter what arena we work in, we're there for two reasons we're there. Number one, we're there to shine a light, to be salt, to be in to be a beacon. And the other, you know, and we get caught up on that, in that one, because that's what we want to do. That's what Christ did. Christ was the beacon. He was the light. But we can't forget that we're there, because we encounter two different people, every one of us. We encounter believers, and we encounter non-believers. And whenever it comes to a non-believer, that's what we do. We're there to shine a light, to be that beacon. But whenever it comes to the believer, we're there to encourage one another. Whenever I got up from that table at the restaurant, I got up encouraged, because as soon as she said that, I felt the presence of God fall in that place. And I know they felt the same thing. That's what we felt. But that's why we're there. It doesn't matter. Look, we're not, it's not about the money. It's not about the fishing. It's about the people. And it's about doing what God wants us to do. Once we get caught up in that, we in trouble. We in trouble. But that's what it's about. And again, I want to thank y'all for coming tonight. And again, whenever I got up, I was encouraged. And I appreciate it.